So we're wrapping up today our series on regret, and if you're here and you missed the whole series, that's okay, because there's still, I think, for you enough meat on the bone, as it were, for you to walk out of here today really understanding how we can overcome regret. It's possible for you and I to put the past in the rearview mirror and to experience freedom from regret. And so if you're here for the first time today, I want to welcome you. I want to say I'm so glad you're here. And you're going to walk out of here today, I think, with some very practical tools that will help you put the past in the past. There are certain things that kind of bother me. I know that I'm a little bit odd, and from time to time, something maybe bothers me that doesn't bother you. One of the things that bothers me are some of the paradoxes that I see in life. For example, alternative or somewhat contradictory cliches or idioms that we all know, and yet they seem to be really opposite of one another. So, for example, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a cliche or an idiom, and I want you to finish it. You think you can do that? This is a participatory exercise. I'm going to give you the first few words, and you're going to say the last few words. You ready? Are you ready? Okay, good. I was a little worried for a minute. I thought maybe you got raptured. No, I don't know. Okay, so, all right, you ready? Here's the first one. The early bird gets the worm, right? Okay, but wait a minute. What about good things come to those who wait? Early bird gets the worm. Good things come to those who wait. I'm just really puzzled. Okay, how about this one? Two heads are right, but if you want something done right, you, huh? Which is it? I'm confused. Okay, how about this one? Never put off until tomorrow what you can. That's right, except you should, you know, cross that bridge when you get there. Okay, maybe it's not just me. Maybe y'all are bothered by this too. Okay, well, how about this one then? Birds of a feather. And opposites? See, you're going to walk out of here a little bit worried today too, aren't you? You're going to be like, I'm so confused. I don't know what to think. Okay, here's the last one. The pen is mightier and actions speak louder than words. Let us pray. Go in peace. You're welcome. That's my contribution to your state of mind for today. Now, okay, it's one thing when we have those sort of contradictions and we're like, oh, I'm so confused. But what about those times when we look at Scripture and Scripture seems to be contradictory? I mean, I read this in one part and I read that in another part and it's all God's Word and I'm just walking away and going, I'm so confused, right? It's the scriptural paradoxes, or at least those that seem to be contradictory, that really can kind of get under my skin. And regret is kind of one of those a little bit. And we've been sort of exploring that paradox all month long. Here's what I mean by that, and I think we've all been there, okay? I think every one of us who ever experienced regret, we've been there. If you're a Christ follower, you know, in other words, you got it here, it's cognitive, it's knowledge. If you're following Jesus, you know that you have been forgiven for your sin. Your sin's been wiped clean, you get a fresh start. That's the nature of grace, that's the good news of the gospel. If you're following Jesus, you're forgiven. You get this fresh start. In fact, that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Completely, you know, fresh. It's a new start. Reboot, control, alt, delete, right? That's what happens when we come to Christ. But, nevertheless, there are still a lot of us who struggle with regret. And regret just seems to kind of nip at your heels. We know we've got grace, so why do we still struggle with guilt? We know that God declares us righteous in His sight, so why do we struggle with regret? You see, there's a paradox there, at least there seems to be, and it can be confusing a little bit, but I think there is a solution. Those of us who follow Jesus, we look to Scripture for our solutions. We say that the Bible is our sort of our guidebook, it's our life book for, you know, life and practice. But the thing is, a lot of times that can even, at least on the face of it, seem a little bit confusing.
Just think of some of the scriptures that we've looked at in this past month. In Ephesians, Paul, one of Jesus' early followers, he was a missionary, planted churches. Paul says this, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, Paul says. He said to Titus, one of his proteges, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. So Paul's looking back at his life. He's encouraging others to look back at their lives. He's saying, man, you used to be some really crummy people, right? Some of you did. I know you. You used to be some really crummy people, right? But then he says, and he writes in another book, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Well, which is it, Paul? Because on the one hand, you're saying, Frank, you need to focus on forgetting the past. Just focus on, forget the past, look forward to what lies ahead. And yet in another place, he says, you used to be a dirtbag, right? So which is it? And there's this regret, this is like this nemesis that just kind of follows along, right? And if we're going to conquer it, how do we do that? Because Paul seems to be writing, at least on the face when we look at it, he seems to be writing some contradictory encouragements. And so what do we do? Well, we said early on in this series, and I just want to repeat it, that the solution for regret is redemption. The solution for regret is redemption. And that's just a big Bible word. Redemption just means having a debt cleared. So when you sin, you incur a debt. Whether it's the kind of sin that's something that you did that you should not have done, or maybe it's the kind of sin that it's something you should have done but you chose not to do, right? There was a right thing that you should have done and you didn't. There was a wrong thing you shouldn't have done but you did. And so you incur a sin debt. Redemption just means the clearing of that debt. A lot of people try to clear their own debt. And they're never able to do that because they're always found wanting. Their sin debt always exceeds their ability to overcome that debt. And so God comes along. He sends his son Jesus. Jesus goes to the cross and he takes our sin, yours, mine, with him to the cross. He clears the debt. Jesus clears our sin debt. That is redemption. And the only way to overcome regret is for you and I to really embrace this process of redemption. And so we said all month long that it's sort of a four-step process. How do we experience redemption? How do we overcome regret? Step number one is you got to look back, right? And so if your first time here today, you walk out of here with these four principles, you're going to be on the road, right? Step number one, you got to look back. You got to honestly acknowledge your past. Where have you messed up? What are the things that you should not have done? And sometimes for some of us, that's a brutally honest inventory. It can be difficult. That's step number one, look back. Step number two is let go. And a lot of people can never get past step number two. They can't let go. And the way you let go is you find God's perspective. You receive God's grace. Remember, grace is getting what you don't deserve. You deserve death. You don't get death. Instead, you get eternal life when you come to Jesus. That's grace. So you got to look back, honestly perceive your past. You've got to let go by embracing God's grace. Third, you've got to launch out. You use what was a negative for a positive. That thing which was bad in your life, now because you're redeemed, you can use that redeemed bad thing now to bless other people. And the fourth step, which we're going to explore today for the next 15 minutes, is you never go back. Don't go back. Man, you refuse to get sucked back in to that sin and that regret vortex. So it's look back, let go, launch out, and never go back. Now, we've said that overcoming regret doesn't mean that you never glance back. But it does mean that you're always moving forward. That's why we keep this mirror up here. That's why this rearview mirror up here all month long, right? Rearview mirrors. So we've all got them. We've all seen them. We all know how to. They have these in Chile, right? Rearview mirrors in Chile. They've got them in Canada, right? Probably invented in Canada. Canadians invent all kinds of cool stuff. But rearview mirrors, we have them on our car. We glance at them. So overcoming regret doesn't mean that we never glance back, but it does mean that we're always moving forward. So let's talk about that. Let's just walk through those four steps, and I want us to see how a man named Paul applied those four steps in his life. Looking back. Remember we said the first step in overcoming your regret is that you've got to look back. Paul, I said, you know, was a missionary, traveled around in the first century, planted churches, taught people about Jesus, helped people find their way back to God. Paul was an amazing guy, but he didn't start out that way. In Philippians chapter 3, he gives a little bit of his story. Philippians is just a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, the city of Philippi. And he tells them a little bit about his story. You know, he says, I want you to know that I was a Jew of Jews, right? I was the most Jewish Jew that ever Jewed, is what he says, right? He says, I was born a Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised on the eighth day. Paul had this incredible, for a time in his life, he had this incredible pride in his citizenship that he was thoroughly Jewish. Not only was he Jewish by nationality, he was Jewish by spirituality. He was the most religious Jew of all Jews. He was incredibly zealous about Judaism. He kept all of the rules that were located in the Mosaic law, in the Jewish law. He was the poster child for the ultimate Jewish rabbi guy. That's him. In fact, he goes so far to tell the church at Philippi in Philippians 3, verse 6, he says, I was so zealous, I was so, you know, into Judaism that I harshly persecuted the church. See, Paul wasn't always Paul the Christian missionary. For a while, Paul was the persecutor of Christians. And in fact, the first time we read about Paul, in the book of Acts, we find him on his way to Damascus. He's going from Jerusalem to Damascus. He's going to arrest Christians. He's going to bring them back in chains to Jerusalem so they can be tried, convicted, and punished for following Jesus. That's who he was. And so Paul does, you know, these four steps that we're talking about, Paul demonstrates these right here in Philippians chapter 3. The first thing he does is he looks back. He says, this is who I used to be. I used to be this highly religious super Jew. I used to persecute Christians. He looks back. Then he turns the page and he lets go. And that's where some of us struggle. The problem is some of us never get past taking inventory. We get stuck in the past. We get glued, we get fixated on the rearview mirror, and so we crash the car because our eyes are right here. Paul doesn't do that. He's able to let go. In fact, look at verse 7. He says, you know, I was so zealous, I harshly persecuted the church. But then he says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Paul is able to let go. And honestly, that's where some of us are at. We need to let go. We need to let go of the past. Whether it's your past, you know, it's the glory days of back when and remember when, or whether it's the sinful days and your past that you struggle to let go of. We need to, some of you, you need to let go. You remember when Jesus called his first followers? We call them the disciples sometimes. He calls his first followers. Read about it in the book of Matthew in chapter 4. He goes down to the lake and he sees some guys fishing. They're in business together, and some of them are related. These guys are fishing, and he says, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew records, that this biographer named Matthew records, at once they left their nets and followed him. They let go. And that's hard for some of us to do. Some of us just can't seem to leave the past in the rearview mirror. But unless you're able to let go and leave the past in the past, you're never going to be able to get to the next step. And that's why the enemy, that's why the devil, wants to keep so many of you stuck right here in the past. He wants you here in the past because he knows if you're stuck in the past, you're never going to be able to get to that next step, and you're never going to be able to launch out and use for good that which the enemy wants to use for evil. Paul did that. Paul was able to look back. He was able to let go. And because of that, he was able to launch out. Verse 10, Philippians chapter 3. Now, Paul, he says, "Hey, I used to be this. Now I consider all of that rubbish." He says, now he says, "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead." Paul's ready to launch out. He said, that's what I used to be. Not anymore. I've let go of that. And now he says, my whole life is all about knowing Jesus. I want to know Christ. There's a difference between knowing Christ and knowing about Christ. A lot of folks know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. Maybe they've read the book, but they don't know the author, right? Paul says, I want to know Christ. In fact, that's the whole point of Summer Strong. When you came in today, you saw the display in the lobby, and I'm going to be talking at the end of our gathering today about Summer Strong. The whole point of you and I focusing on spiritual growth this summer is so we can get to know Jesus better and experience his power. Paul says, I want to know Christ. Look at what he says now in verse 12. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But not, here's what he says. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus has called us. Here's the paradox. Here's where it's a little bit tricky. If you're supposed to forget what is behind, Paul says, I forget what is behind, I press on. I look forward, I forget what's behind, I'm looking forward. If you're supposed to forget what is behind, then why does Paul keep reminding the early Christians where they come from? Why does he say he used to be this? He used to be, you know, slave to lust and passions, and he used to be sinful. If we're supposed to forget what is behind, then why is it we keep being reminded of, you know, where we've come from? Here's the deal. Paul isn't suggesting that you should forget where you come from. What he is suggesting is that you and I need to be careful that we don't become prideful in how far we've come. When you look back, when you and I look in the rearview mirror, when we glance in the rearview mirror and we see kind of where we've come from, where we used to be, that should not be for us a source of pride. Rather, it should be for us a source of humility, that we see just how far God has brought us. And once you do that, once you're able to look back and say, man, I used to be that was my situation, but look at how far God's brought me. Once you're able to do that, man, you're able to launch out and you're able to be a blessing and an encouragement to other people. Here's what I mean. Maybe your story of breaking free from addiction can be used to help other people break free. And so you're able to glance in the rearview mirror and see, man, I used to be messed up. But praise God, because of his work in my life, now I'm able to live in freedom. And you're able to use that to help other people. You launch out and you bless someone else. Maybe it's your story of misplaced priorities and how God challenged you to reshuffle those priorities and put first things first. Maybe that's the thing that God wants to use in your life to bless someone else, to help him find right priorities, to help her learn to put God first. Maybe your story of God repairing broken relationships can give other people hope. Maybe your story of overcoming crippling fear can be used to help other people find courage. And when you do that, when you allow your redeemed pain to be used to bring other people hope and bring other people healing, then you're ready for the fourth step. Then you're ready. Because the fourth step, right? So it's look back, let go, launch out. The fourth step is never go back. Never go back. I love the way Paul kind of ends this whole idea here in Philippians chapter 3. He says, we must hold on to the progress we've already made. That can be hard, can't it? Holding on to the progress that we've already made. It's one thing to look back and see how far God has brought us. It's another thing to avoid sliding back to the place from which we've come. And I know what it can be like. Sunday is awesome. We come to church and we sing. We get to connect with other Christ followers. We're connected with God in worship. And Sunday can be amazing. But you know what comes after every single Sunday? Monday. Right? And tomorrow morning is coming, and I'm telling you, some of you are going to go to work, and the boss is going to be in a rotten mood. Some of you aren't going to work because tomorrow's Memorial Day, but some of you are going to go to work, and the boss has got to work on Memorial Day, and he's going to be cranky. She's going to be just annoyed from the time that they open the office, right? And it can be hard to hold on to the progress that you've already made. You're going to go to work and the machine is going to break down. And everything's going to come grinding to a halt. The shipment is going to be late. And I guarantee you it's going to be something that you really need. Or else the shipment is late and somebody is going to be yelling at you because you're the person who was supposed to ship it. Right? Or the teacher is going to say tomorrow, close your textbooks and take out a sheet of paper. And that's a bummer. And it's going to be difficult to hang on to the progress that you've already made. Your husband's going to say, the car has a flat tire. Your wife is going to say, my parents are coming for the weekend. And it's going to be difficult to hold on to the progress that you've already made. And when you've looked back and you've let go, and you've launched out, what you and I need to do is we need to resolve, we need to just determine, to decide, to put a stake in the ground and say, from this place forward, there is no going back. I am determined to hang on to the progress that I've already made. And that's why we don't get rid of the rearview mirror in our life. That's the solution to Paul's paradox that says, you know, remember where you've come from and forget what is in the past. That's the solution. We hang on to the rearview mirror because it gives us the occasion to glance back from time to time. There are two reasons why you want to keep glancing back in the rearview mirror. Two. Number one is so you can see when danger is kind of approaching from behind, when you can see when danger is sneaking up. Tracy and I were traveling down I-69 on one occasion. The weather was kind of crummy, and all of these vehicles in front of us just suddenly stopped, red lights everywhere. And so I'm braking hard, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and all I saw was like a logo that said Freightliner, right? And I knew to get over to the edge of the road, because otherwise the rear part of my car was going to be imprinted with the word Freightliner, right? And one of the reasons we keep glancing in the rearview mirror is so we can see when that sinful habit is sort of reasserting itself, when it's approaching, when it's trying to sneak up on you. Why do we do that? Because you want to hang on to the progress that you've already made. So that's the first reason why we keep looking in the rearview mirror, why we glance back. Here's the second reason. You look in the rearview mirror to make sure that your trajectory is on the right path. You see, either day you're, every day, let's put it that way, every day you're either walking closer to Jesus or you're walking further away from Jesus. Those are the only two options. You ain't keeping pace with Jesus, right? Either walking closer to him or you're walking further away from him. Those are your options. And when we glance in the rearview mirror, we're able to see what our trajectory is. Is my trajectory pointed towards Jesus, or is my trajectory pointed away from Jesus? And by glancing in that rearview mirror, we can overcome regret. We can say, okay, I'm going to make sure that I hang on to the progress that I've already made. You see, what happens is the devil, the word Satan means accuser, right? The devil, Satan, he comes to you and he accuses you, and he is so skilled at throwing your past mistakes up and pointing them out to you so that you see them again. So if they're right here, so that they're fresh, and you think, I've not made any progress, I'm not getting anywhere. And it's okay for you to recall your mistakes, but man, don't let the devil make you remain in your mistakes. You've got to look back, you've got to let go, you've got to launch out, and then you've got to say, I am never going back. I'm not going back to that place. And I don't know where you're at in that. Some of you are at step one. You need to look back. You need to have an honest, just a brutally honest assessment. Some of you are stuck at step two. You can't let go. The mistake you made feels too horrendous. It feels too big. It feels like you can't overcome it. You need to accept God's grace and forgiveness and just let it go. Some of you are at a place now where you're ready to launch out. That thing that was intended for evil, now you can use it for good. You can help someone else overcome her addiction. You can help someone else experience freedom from pain. You can use your story of a repaired relationship to help another couple fix their marriage. You're ready to launch out. All of us, man, we need to hold on to the progress that we've made. We need to say, I'm never going back. So here's what we're going to do. The guys are going to lead us in some songs, and we're going to just spend some time connecting with the Father, and we're going to share in this memorial meal that reminds us that Jesus paid the price for us on the cross, that we can have forgiveness, that we can let go, that we can launch out, that we can determine to never go back. And as they lead us in these songs, you'll have the opportunity to get up and to walk to any of these six tables throughout the room and share in this meal. To eat bread that reminds us that Jesus' body was broken, it was nailed to a cross for us. To drink juice that reminds us that his blood was spilled for us. And that because of his blood, we can have forgiveness. And here's what I want you to do. When you come to the table today, would you just say, okay, God, Frank says four steps. Look back. Let go, launch out, never go back. Lord, where am I? Where am I in that? Where am I, God? Just ask God and pause, spend some time there, and, you know, Let God reveal to you what the next step is for you. Maybe you want to talk to somebody about that or pray with somebody about that. You'll see some people scattered throughout the room wearing blue lanyards. Folks from our prayer team, people who are elders in our church, shepherds in our church, we'd love to just pray with you about that. Whatever step you're at, 1, 2, 3, or 4, we'd love to just pray with you about that. Let's determine this morning that we are going to deal with regret once and for all. That you're going to walk out of this place free from regret. Let's stand and pray. So, Lord, come and be among us right now. Show us what we need to do. Some of us need to look back. Some of us need to let go. Some of us need to launch out. Some of us need to determine that we are not going back. We're going to hold on to the progress that we've already made. Reveal that to us this morning as we come to this table and remember what your Son Jesus did for us so that we can go forward in peace and in the assurance that we are loved by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.